week and all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my friend and colleague, Muckbill Yabaro, for hosting the past two shows. It's good to be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone. Let's kick off in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where the country's national men's football team, the Taifa Stars, has received a hero's welcome after qualifying for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Joining us now with more details is Magume Davis Rakowinj. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Hundreds of Tanzania football fans sang and danced traditional African songs as they welcomed their heroes, Taifa Stars, the Tanzania national football team, at the Julius Nyerere International Airport upon qualifying for Ivory Coast 2023 AFCON Finals. Speaking in Swahili, midfielder Mzamiri Yasin, who plays for local club Simba SC, thanked fans for their support.
I think we had a good game, and our main objective was to qualify. At times we had to delay plays against Algeria in order to slow their pace, and at last we were able to get a draw and achieve our objective. We thank our fans that came through in Algeria to witness history, and the one at home, we thank them for their huge support, and at last we are heading into AFCON next year.
Fellow player Novatus Dismas, who plays for Shakhtar Donetsk, agrees.
We thank everyone that supported us throughout. Every Tanzanian wanted to see their team participate in another AFCON competition. We thank God for the achievements. I want to applaud all my fellow players for 90 minutes for the hard fought. Performance wasn't top-notch, but our plan was to defend 90 minutes. We had 7 points, we only needed 1 point, and we achieved it. We thank everyone that came through, and we ask them to support us for the upcoming competitions.
With only 19% ball possession and just 46% pass accuracy, the Taifa Stars defended well from the kickoff against well-studded Algeria side that includes former Manchester City, now Al Ahly winger, Riyad Mahrez, West Ham United's Mohamed Bamlama, the two coming in as substitutes in the second half. Adel Amrushi is the Taifa Stars coach. He thanked his players for their fighting spirit.
Our players was a fighter, was a warrior in the field. I'm happy, very, very happy for our supporters. I thank all the people who sent us the message.
Fan Salum Pelembo says he's excited to have witnessed his national team qualify for Africa's biggest football tournament. Pelembo says he'll organize other fans so they travel and support the Taifa Stars playing at AFCON in Ivory Coast.
If you ask me, I would say that Stars played in a perfect discipline so as to see the team progress. And it was not fashionable. It was not good enough to make everyone happy. But the main aim or the main goal was to see the team going forward. To see how we are going to create a group of fans that is going to travel to the destination of the tournament.
The Taifa Stars were rewarded with a bonus of 500 million Tanzania shillings, about $200,000, from Tanzania President Samia Suluhu. This is the third time the Taifa Stars are qualifying for the AFCON finals. Tanzania sports analyst Samir Nchimbi says the Taifa Stars have to work and improve on their goal-scoring record if they are to stand a chance of progressing beyond group stages this time around.
Making it to the round of 16
It would be a huge achievement for us next year because it's a round that we haven't made for the past 40 years. Maybe in our history, I've never done that before. So I think going to the round of 16, it would be a huge achievement. And making it into another Africa Cup of Nations, it would be a huge achievement. We just have to be regulars from now. It shouldn't be something that we sniff in, we go to competitions and off. The next year, we fail to go, we come back again, eliminated in a group stage. It's something that we don't have to do.
By qualifying, Tanzania represented the entire Council for Eastern Central Africa Football Associations, or CECAFA region, comprising 12 countries. And fans from all parts of Tanzania, just like this here, won't stop dancing to celebrate such an achievement. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarindi in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Taifa Stars of Tanzania for their Africa Cup of Nations qualification.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri has scouted the basketball talent in Nigeria, and so has Marvin Menzies, the men's basketball coach at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. In part two of his conversation with Coach Menzies, Iron Mike Mbonye asked him about the basketball potential in Africa's most populous country.
The talent, the genetics, the numbers, just by pure numbers, the athleticism and the upside, as we say in the U.S., is huge here, and especially in Lagos and in Nigeria because of the population, for one. But also, I think that the culture here, as it relates to the discipline and the respect that is taught to the youth here very young, it's what's lacking is what I'm trying to fill some of those holes. You know, obviously, the best thing would be to have multiple clinics and multiple resources, you know, delegated out to the different academies and universities and schools and so forth. But until that time, the most important thing is the mental approach. And I think that the United States has been recognizing all of the talent here. It's come over. I think there were 9 players with have Nigerian descent in the 2020 draft. Wow. One out of every, 4.5, 5 Africans on the continent is from Nigeria. Nigeria or Lagos alone is 270 million, or Nigeria is 270 million. So it's a crazy number when you think about it, and it's a crazy dynamic that just needs to get supported and continue to get supported.
Have you been working with some Nigerian players out there in the U.S. and your assessment of, you know, their level of performance?
Yes, yes. Actually, I have two players of Nigerian descent on my team, Promise and Precious at UMKC. Their father, Frankie Idiaro, is from Lagos, and so I have a chance to see their family when I come. So that's a nice little benefit for me. But throughout my career, I've been coaching for 41 years now. So I know I don't look that old, but
yes. This is great. Yeah,
we started very young, and right after I graduated from high school, I started coaching. So I was only 20 years old when I started to get certifications and get the instruction myself, which is what we're doing now. We had a lot of young coaches there that were very interested, and I thought learned a lot on the practical side.
Did you follow the FIBA Basketball World Cup?
I followed it some, you know, to be honest with you, this is to be really transparent. I love college basketball. I love high school basketball. I love when they're younger and more moldable. Like our academy, M Squared, is called Molding Men.
I wanted to ask you about your assessment of the 5 teams that represented Africa
at
the World Cup. That's why I wanted to know if you follow the World Cup.
Right, and I don't follow it closely. I know that there's, I like to get, when you get towards the final, everybody starts watching, right? Yeah. So there's no doubt that the eyes and antennas go up when they go closer and closer to the final. So, and I think that, you know, you can just tell by the success of the African teams that the Africa in general is moving in a positive direction within the FIBA market.
That's Marvin Menzies, the men's basketball coach at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And Coach Menzies spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Novak Djokovic and Coco Gauff, who won the men's and women's singles titles over the weekend at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. For Djokovic, it was his record-tying 24th major singles title.
Well, I don't know where to start. It obviously means the world to me. You know, I'm kind of repeating myself, but I have to say it every time that I'm really living my childhood dream, you know, to compete at the highest level in the sport that has given me and my family so much, you know, coming from very difficult circumstances and adversities during 90s, couple of wars in our country, and being able to push that through, especially for my parents, giving a lot of sacrifice to support me to play. I love you. Thank you so much. to support me to play the sport that is very expensive sport. At that time, very expensive, not accessible, not affordable. But, you know, I fell in love with the tennis. no one has played tennis in my family before, so it was quite a choice, I must say. But incredible resilience. Just belief from my parents, from all the people around me, all these years, you know, my wife, my kids, my team, everyone that is there. This is your trophy as much as is mine. This is your success. I love you. And to make the history, you know, of this sport is just something truly remarkable and special. Obviously, in every possible way, in every possible meaning of the word special. It's hard to describe it, the words. You know, I had the childhood dream when I was 7, 8. I wanted to become the best player in the world and win Wimbledon trophy. That was the only thing I wanted. But then when I realized that, you know, obviously I started to dream new dreams and set new objectives, new goals. I never imagined that I would be here standing with you talking about 24 slams. I never thought that would be the reality. But, you know, the last couple of years I felt I have a chance. I have a shot at the history. And why not grab it if it's presented?
To mark his 24 Grand Slam singles titles, Novak Djokovic also showed off a T-shirt with the image of Kobe Bryant, the late Los Angeles Lakers basketball star, who wore number 24.
Kobe was close friend. We chatted a lot about the winning, you know, winner's mentality. When I was struggling, you know, with the injury and trying to make my comeback, work my way back to the top of the game, you know, he was one of the people that I rely on the most. He was always there for any kind of counsel, advice, any kind of support in a most friendly way. So, of course, what happened a few years ago and him and his daughter passing hurt me deeply. And I thought, you know, 24 is the jersey that he wore when he became a legend of Lakers and world basketball. So I thought, you know, it could be a nice symbolic thing to acknowledge him for all the things he's done.
That's Serbian tennis great Novak Djokovic paying tribute to basketball great Kobe Bryant after winning the U.S. Open title in New York. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An update now on the Rugby World Cup taking place in France. Action resumes Thursday when host France plays Uruguay in a Pool A match in Lille. The French got off to a good start, beating three-time world champion New Zealand 27-13 in the World Cup's opening match on September 8th. This will be the opening World Cup game for Uruguay. Turning to Pool B, defending world champion South Africa returns to the pitch on Sunday, September 17th, when the Springboks play Romania in Bordeaux, France. The South Africans beat Scotland 18-3 in their World Cup opener on Sunday in Marseille. The other African team in the tournament is Namibia, which lost to Italy 52-8 in its opening match September 9th. The Namibians will be back in action Friday when they play the All Blacks of New Zealand in a Pool A match. From the Rugby World Cup to the FIBA Basketball World Cup for men, Germany won its first gold medal at the international basketball competition, and the silver medal went to Serbia, which played some excellent basketball without its best player, Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic. Jokic decided to sit out the FIBA Basketball World Cup to rest and prepare for the upcoming NBA season. In June, Nikola Jokic led the Nuggets to their first NBA title. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my report. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of seven NBA Finals 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. And it's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believe in us. Every player believe in each other, And I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Well, gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia, was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have an NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer, you know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being looking back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody. Every real hooper, you know, wants to be on the stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time. And a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, had the team have total belief in me, people back home had total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for, and just to see like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship, you know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. So, you know, I love Nikola 8 years, love Jamal 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. So, yeah, it's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member of the now defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Rain on me. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Sporty greeting. This is Julian Farran from FIBA Africa Head of Competition. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
The arrival of World Cup champion Lionel Messi in Major League Soccer this year has generated tremendous excitement among American fans. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports report, Jacopo Luzzi tells us more.
Leo Messi's arrival to the United States Soccer League has generated all kinds of buzz from adoring fans, thrilled at the chance to see him in action live on the field.
Incredible experience.
Awesome.
Incredible game. Everything, the atmosphere, everyone.
In his July debut as team captain of Inter Miami, he scored a last-minute goal leading the team to victory against Mexico's Cruz Azul. MLS commissioner Don Garber sees Messi's U.S. arrival as a turning point for the league.
This is a transformational moment for Major League Soccer. To have arguably the best player that's ever played the game to make Major League Soccer his league of choice.
DC United coach Wayne Rooney hopes Messi joining the MLS could attract other high-profile international players. Shortly after announcing Messi's arrival to the team, Inter Miami also signed his former Barcelona teammates Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba.
See, I think it was important for the league to get Messi in, to show that he can compete as well against, you know, a country and a environment which is putting a lot of money out there.
British football commentator Callum Williams says the U.S. soccer is now more mature and adds he has seen steady growth in the sport's popularity in the U.S.
Because of where Messi is from and because of the relationship in football that is now being nurtured between North and South America and the Latin community in North America, I think he's the perfect player at the perfect time.
Some experts see Messi's arrival as part of a growing trend of international players choosing to play in the U.S. Fernando Fiore, a longtime World Cup and MLS commentator, says he has seen how the league's popularity has been boosted by incoming international players.
Ibra.
Ibra, who made a tremendous contribution, Gareth Bale, who did a short stint but helped win a championship, and now more are coming.
Securing Messi didn't come cheap, with his contract costing between $50 million and $60 million annually. But it will likely be worth it. Over 12 million viewers tune in from 171 countries to watch his debut, making it the most watched soccer game in U.S. television history. Kellen Williams says soccer could finally be ready to hit the big time in the U.S.
People who aren't even football fans have said that it is the sport of the future in this country. But it does feel as though that future is now.
It is expected soccer's popularity will continue to grow, with the U.S. set to host the Copa America tournament next summer and the World Cup in 2026, positioning the country and the sport at the center of the international soccer map. Jacopo Luzzi for VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for tuning in, and that's the sunny side.